Welcome to The Grow Show, brought to you by Marty Grender's Grow Group, where we specialize in helping landscaping companies to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grender Landscaping Company. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Filling in for Marty this week is Grow Group Vice President Vince Torchia.
Hey everybody, Vince Torchia from The Grow Group here for another exciting episode of The Grow Show. This week in this mini episode, I want to talk to you about what's on the mind of our ACE peer group members as we go into spring 2026. We've got over 250 members in our peer groups across over 19 groups. We get an awesome insight into not only the industry, but what leaders and their teams are thinking about going into a spring season. So there's three things I want to hit on today. Leadership is number one. Financial knowledge is number two. And then vision for your company as number three. So we'll talk about each one. So leadership, the first thing on the mind for ACEs, it's what do I do to get more leaders at my organization? We have a great team. We have awesome people. We love the people we work with. We've grown a lot as an organization. Maybe we haven't equipped our team with the tools to become successful leaders. So what do we do about that, right? What kind of environment do we need to create where somebody can make a decision for a customer, make a decision for our team, they can invest time or money or both into our organization to help it grow without having to come ask me as the owner, without having to get, quote, permission? We've just set up an organization where people can go take action and have some autonomy. Doesn't that sound nice, right? So it's hard to not think about that in relation to a coaching tree for sports, right? I know we're a few weeks now removed from the college football national championship, but there were four teams that made it to the playoffs. All four of those coaches, all at one time or another, were coaches under Nick Saban, right? So Nick Saban, right? Love Alabama football, hate Alabama football, doesn't matter. You have to recognize that his ability to be a great coach was also an ability for him to create other leaders, right? Not just people that did whatever, you know, Nick Saban wanted them to do, and they couldn't succeed outside of Nick Saban's shadow. But he created other leaders who went on to become really successful coaches. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we are going to create a whole bunch of leaders at your organization so they can leave, right? Not my intention. But the thought process should be the same. If we want to be a successful company, we know the answer is leadership. And the more people that we have at our organization that are leaders, the better that we will do. So some questions for you to think about as you're listening here. What has changed in our ability to grow leaders as we've been growing our company? Are we using the same training systems? Are we skipping, canceling, not doing our one-on-ones, for example? How am I using my influence as a leader, right, to show them better ways that they can operate? And what am I doing differently, right? It's the classic example. If we keep behaving the same way and expect different results, right, we're going to go insane. So my first question to you is, what's actually going to be different this year from a leadership perspective? How are we going to actually put tools in the toolboxes of our leaders to make them be better? At Grender, we're using this term called soft skills. It's kind of been a focus of ours. You've heard us talk about it before. But it's really not about the technical side of landscaping or maintenance or irrigation or snow or anything like that. It's all about the soft skills. How do you have a tough conversation? How do you coach? How do you lead? How do you tell someone and give them corrective behavior tools and still have them appreciate and respect what you're doing? We've realized we need some work on that. So soft skills have always been a theme for ours, right? And we're going to continue that. But we need to have tools in our toolbox. Again, another really useful tool that we're getting that I would encourage everyone to understand is that we're doing Clifton Strengths. So that's our personality profile. It's through Gallup. We have two awesome facilitators who also are facilitators of peer groups, Megan Parker and Tracy Wallingford from McFarland Stanford. They work with our team at Grender. And they really empowered us as a leadership team to ask better questions, to better understand our role in the organization and how our strengths fit into that role. And more importantly, how we can have conversations with our team that allow them to use their strengths, right? So that's been a focus of ours. It's been super helpful. But the work that we're doing in Clifton Strengths has made a huge difference in terms of us growing other leaders. Marty talks about it a lot. 10 years ago, he felt like it was him, maybe one other individual from Grender who thought like an owner, behaved like an owner. Now there's eight of us on the leadership team, and many managers feel the same way about the fact that they have the ability to make a decision, the ability to run the ball. And again, they're going to learn from their mistakes just like everybody else did. But leadership is certainly on the mind of our ACEs. So again, this year, ask yourself, what am I actually doing different? What program am I putting in place to help leaders be successful? How can I ask better questions? How can I give them some parameters and let my leaders go execute? Knowing they're going to make mistakes, knowing that everything's going to be perfect, that's okay, right? It's all part of the game. But leadership is certainly on the mind of our ACE members going into 2026. Number two is financial knowledge. A lot of ACE members, Marty Grunder included in this, they're great at what I call owner math or napkin math. We know how many trucks are going out. We know what the routes are looking like. We can tell by morning activity really what we're at from a capacity standpoint. And that's great for gut checks, and that's great for short-term decision-making. But a lot of ACE members are now realizing, man, I'm great at owner math, and I'm great at day-to-day math, but my cash isn't matching my P&L. I have no strategy around debt servicing or liquidity, or I have no strategy around if I'm paying cash or if I'm leasing or why. I haven't talked to the bank about my line of credit. I don't really know what my access to capital is. People are paying slower. Now my AR days are higher than usual. That's the type of financial knowledge that a lot of peer group members are really sinking their teeth in, so they can understand and then educate their team on the financial levers of the business. So again, I want you to kind of use two examples here so that you can learn from. Number one is just P&L management. What costs are hitting our business that we are putting out cash for that actually let us run the business? What are we spending on direct labor? What are we spending on warranties? What are we spending on fuel and equipment and repairs? What are we spending on salaries and commissions and bonuses, right? What are all those costs that we have? Do we understand, right, what we're paying for things? Do we understand the costs? Do we understand how that's built into our whole financial system? And are we reviewing that with the key members of our team who affect those levers? Right, so that's number one. The second half of this is the balance sheet. What are we owed as an organization, right? AR, right? What are our assets? What do we owe? What's our accounts payable, whether it's credit cards or vendors or everything else, even, you know, whatever we owe somebody. What is the delta between what we are owed and what we owe on a short-term perspective? And then how are we managing just our assets and liabilities for the business? Because the profitability moves from your P&L to your balance sheet, right? It's a accounting equation. And so the more we understand those levers, the better we can operate, the better we can have conversations with our banker, our lawyer, our insurance agent, our vendors, right? People that are stakeholders in our business, so that we can make better decisions. So financial knowledge is absolutely on the mind of our peer group members. So if you're looking for somewhere to start, start with the P&L. Just start looking at it, start asking more questions, start asking about classifications. Hey, why are we booking this cost in this category? Why are we using this GL code and not that GL code? I know that sounds detailed. I know that sounds in the weeds, but it's just a great education. So whether it's your accountant, whether it's your controller, whether it's somebody in your organization, your bookkeeper that you're working with, just sit down with them, go through the P&L together, come up with your list of questions. It doesn't mean you have to change your chart of accounts right now. It doesn't mean you have to change a whole bunch of things in your business, but start to get comfortable with how the P&L is laid out. Step two then is really understanding the balance sheet, which is where more opportunities lie for owners. Who owes us what? What do we owe them? What are our assets? What are our liabilities? How is our profitability affecting our retained earnings, affecting our debt service, affecting our ability to pay cash for things? Because as we all know, profitability and cash flow are not the same thing. So the more that you understand how those levers work together, the more successful you'll be this spring. And then finally, number three, the vision for our company. Every spring, we go back out on clients' properties. We go do work for the year, and always the question enters our mind, should we be doing this work for this client? Whether it was a renewal, whether it was a sale, whether it was a first time on a property or even a referral, that question does permeate in the spring because we're really busy. We have a lot going on. We're trying to get our spring cleanups done. We're trying to come out of winter into spring and have a great kickoff of the year. And every year, every company in spring goes, man, is this really the kind of work we should be doing? Right, because it's when we're at our most stressed is when we really start to ask the most questions about our organization. So number one, that's normal and natural, right? You'll be with your team, you'll sell a property, you'll go out there, you'll be doing it, you'll get your first phone call from a client, right? And you'll be like, man, is this really the kind of work we should be doing still? Perfectly good question to ask. The short answer is keep doing it this year, right? We've already got our contracts, we've already got our plan for the year, we're going to have to plow through. But what I would encourage everyone to do is think about, who is our ideal client? are we servicing them? And if we are servicing them, how do we get more of them? If we're not spending most of our time servicing our ideal client, that's okay for now. Everybody's gone through that. But we need to start to think, okay, let me at least tranche up the clients that we have. Let me put them in a red, yellow, green. Green meaning we love working with them, right? It's sustainable, meaning we can build a business. It's profitable. It's enjoyable. We like working with them. We're making some money, and we can build a business around them. Tranche your yellow clients this spring. I don't know about these people. I don't know about this customer and this client. I don't know if we're going to make a lot of money this year from them. They're not really referring us, but they're really nice people. Maybe we need to look internally and figure out if we can just, you know, value engineer how we can make some money on these properties. But we don't know. We have some question marks here. And then tranche your red. We're not making money. We're never making them happy. They're not referring us. We're not growing the business off of this relationship. I'm not sure that we're the best fit for them. That's okay. Again, honor your contracts. Honor what you've said you're going to do this year. That's okay. This happens to every company. But really this spring, when we're busy, when our systems are stressed, when our people are stressed, that's the time to look at these things. Again, not to make emotional decisions, but to really understand why. So I would encourage you, as you go through spring into summer, and we start to even, you know, work through all the clients that we're going to work through this year, have in your mind, is this client a red client, a yellow client, or a green client? And then what we're going to do about it for the remainder of the year. Have an honest, open, transparent conversation with your team, and everybody will feel better about the work that we're doing, at least if we acknowledge it. Nothing worse than servicing a non-ideal client and not addressing it or not talking about it or not saying to the team, hey, we realize this is a red for us. We've got a contract. We're going to stick to it. We're going to make the best of this, but we're aware and you're aware. So we'll make a plan another time. But to call that out is critically important. So that's what's on the mind of our ACE members right now. Leadership capital, how are we making more leaders in our company? Financial knowledge, how are we adding to the financial knowledge of our leaders and of our managers to make better decisions as part of the company growth, whether that's on the profit and loss or on the balance sheet? And then number three, are we servicing our ideal clients? What kind of company are we going to be, right? Setting that ideal client metric out there, talking about it with the team, rating our customers red, yellow, green will allow us to get a window into what our organization will look like in the future. So as I said, we've got a great insight into the industry from the ACE peer groups that we have. We've got over 250 members across 19 groups. If you're looking to join an ACE peer group, we've got ACE Discovery coming up. Last week of March, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be in New Orleans. We're going to be adding new members as part of our ACE Discovery program. Come to New Orleans, see what this is all about, meet some of your facilitators, meet your fellow ACEs, and start to make changes that will actually take effect this year in 2026. Like I said at the beginning, if we're going to use the same attitude, systems, processes, training, clients, etc., and expect different results this year, probably not going to happen, right? So get around other risk-taking peers, get around the board of advisors within the ACE peer group, and let's make changes that stick in 2026. So looking forward to seeing you at ACE Discovery in March in New Orleans, and have a great rest of your week. Thanks and take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and visit growgroupinc.com for more resources to help your landscaping company succeed. We'll talk to you next week.